Hello, everybody. My name is Luke Stamey, and I'm your host of the Space Travel Podcast. I hope everyone's doing excellent this evening. We got a lot of storms here in the south, so it's kind of a dreary day here. But nonetheless, still a lot of exciting stuff going on in the space industry. SpaceX has got a Starlink launch coming up. Today was actually supposed to be the day that they launched, but I'm gonna say weather. I didn't get to double check, but probably pushed it back. So now they're shooting for the 30th. I'm not really sure what time. I saw it a minute ago. Let's see. Well, this one doesn't show a time. 4:18 p.m. was today is what time they were supposed to launch. So maybe a similar time on Tuesday. I hope so. I definitely like the day launches a lot better than some of the other ones. Don't get me wrong. Night launches are gorgeous. I love seeing those boosters when they're coming back in, seeing those thrusters go off and make those beautiful, beautiful shapes and patterns and stuff in the sky, like pulses. It's just gorgeous. But I don't know. I like seeing the actual rocket fly and all the different things work. So I guess I'm just split down the middle on that subject. But this Starlink mission is actually going to be Black Sky Sats, which are Earth-observing satellites, and they are going to be launched for the Seattle-based company Black Sky. I figured today, since I've done a lot of talking about different rockets, different companies, and all that, but I haven't gotten into any specifics on any rockets. So today, I figured we would have an episode pretty much focusing on the Falcon 9, the rocket that's been changing everything, just because of its sheer reusability and just kind of changing the way that we see orbital class rockets, at least me anyway. So we'll go through some facts about the Falcon 9 rocket. The Falcon 9, of course, has 9 Merlin engines. 9 sea level Merlin engines, that is, and they are LOX RP1 gas generator cycle engines that produce about 845 kilonewtons or 190,000 foot-pounds of thrust each. So there's 9 of them on there. You can do the math and kind of work out how much thrust that is for one booster. But on the second stage, there's a single Merlin vacuum engine. This engine has a larger exhaust section and expansion nozzle to increase the efficiency in the vacuum of space. Just, I'm not really 100% on all the mechanics of what vacuum engine versus sea level engine. I do know, though, that sea level engines lose their efficiency in the vacuum of space and vice versa. Has to do with the atmospheric pressure pushing on the exhaust. The Merlin vacuum engine is also regeneratively cooled, while the nozzle is radiatively cooled. At full thrust, the vacuum engine has the greatest efficiency ever for an American-made hydrocarbon rocket engine. The thrust is about 981 kilonewtons or 220,500 foot-pounds thrust. Pretty impressive for a single engine, if you ask me. Now, there's a lot of discussion about rocket engines and efficiency and power and all that, and I don't know, maybe my mind just goes straight to the mighty Saturn V, but every time I think of the power of a rocket engine, I just think about the picture of Wernher von Braun, or Brown, however you want to say it, standing there in front of the Saturn V Stage 1 booster, right at the engine nozzles. It's an impressive sight, and he looks like a proud dad standing in front of his baby. It's very interesting. A few other specs of the Mighty Falcon 9 are that its height is 70 meters, comes out to about 229.6 feet, and has a diameter of 3.7 meters or 12 feet. And then its mass is 549,054 kilograms, or about 1,207,920 pounds. Now that is a lot larger than, for some reason, I envision in my head when I see it sitting on the launch pad. every time we see those awesome photos by Greg Scott and all those other great photographers, when the boosters are either coming back in to port or whether they're being transported on a semi-truck or something, it just blows my mind how absolutely massive they are. So payload, anyway, to low Earth orbit, it has a payload capacity of about 22,800 kilograms. That comes out to 50,260 pounds, something like that. That's a lot of weight. I mean, if anybody has ever stood in front of something that they knew weighed 50,000 pounds, then you know what I mean. It is huge. Absolutely huge. And if it's not huge, then it's definitely going to be an extremely dense material. I'm around large machinery all day, pretty much every day, being a safety man in the industrial field. So, you know, like the other day I was in front of a paper machine, which not a lot of people really think about where your paper comes from, but let me tell you, it's a gigantic machine. Absolutely huge. It has rollers on it that weigh 50,000 pounds. But if you wanted to get something into geostationary orbit, you're looking at about 8,300 kilograms. It comes out to about 18,300 pounds. That's still massive. 18,000 pounds. That's like a mid-sized excavator, really. And to Mars, which you can't really see the Falcon 9 flying to Mars. Maybe a Falcon Heavy, but we'll talk about that in a minute. To Mars, it'd be about 4,020 kilograms, 8,860 pounds. Which, when you're talking about sending something to Mars, 8,000 pounds is, I don't know, it's not a lot. You better pack as much of a punch as you possibly can into that 8,000 pounds to make it worth it. I think life support systems alone would probably weigh over 8,000 pounds. Even though that makes me curious, I really don't know what the components like that weigh. Maybe I'll look into that sometime. So, flights to date for the Falcon 9. We have 85 launches in total, 46 landings, and 32 reflights of the Falcon 9 booster. That's pretty awesome. I mean, just in the amount of time that the Falcon 9 has been in operation, I mean, it's pretty much led the way for orbital class rockets. I mean, don't get me wrong, got a soft spot for the Atlas. That's a pretty mighty beast right there. Or as Mr. Tory Bruno would say, the most metal of rockets, which I'd have to agree. That's everything that I have today on space travel. I hope everyone has a wonderful evening, and I'll see you next time. This is Luke Stamey with the Space Travel Podcast, signing off. Hello, everybody. This is Luke Stamey with the Space Travel Podcast. I just wanted to get back with y'all on this episode and kind of state that a little of the information that I had in this episode was kind of outdated by the time this aired. The launch date for the Falcon 9 Starlink mission is actually the 30th. You can go on SpaceX's website, or better yet, you can hit up NASA Space Flight for their launch manifest. That's a great resource as far as figuring out when launches are and what time and what's on them and all that, so go check them out. I also just wanted to state that on the Falcon 9, whenever it's launching and all that, it does a series of burns after the initial ignition of the 9 first stage engines. So after main engine cutoff, or MECO, and stage separation, the second stage Merlin VAC engine will ignite and carry the payload out into its intended orbit. The booster will actually do a maneuver to turn and orient itself for re-entry and do a boost back burn. I believe this boost back burn is either one or three engines, and that's what slows the booster down to be able to make it through re-entry. And then upon landing, I believe it's one or three engines will ignite to safely set the Falcon 9 booster back on the landing pad. And hopefully then they can just go out, grab it, and go over and make sure everything's good and fly it again. They're doing this with much more frequency lately than they have been, and I'm extremely impressed by their progress. I'll be excited to see Starship, which we will also do an episode on, because, I mean, how can we not? You know, I'm a space nerd, and Starship is gonna be awesome. I'm extremely excited for it. I appreciate everybody for listening. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please write a review, rate me. I'd really appreciate it. I have a lot of fun doing this, and I hope you guys enjoy listening. If y'all got any tips or anything like that, y'all can go check out the podcast Twitter page at Space Travel and throw stuff on there and we can chat. I'd love to hear from y'all. I hope everyone has a wonderful day, and this is Luke Stamey with the Space Travel Podcast, signing off.